Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Good news to tell you about with Nebraska football and recruiting. Will Honus, probably about 20 minutes ago, maybe a little longer than that, but the last half hour is in, signing with Nebraska, the linebacker from Butler Community College down in Kansas. What's it mean? We'll get to that in a bit, but a loaded show for you. And you're welcome to Tap the Line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in can also get us via email, chris@hailvarsity.com, and on Twitter at hailvarsity at Schmidt underscore radio. So we'll talk about Will Honus and his commitment here in a minute. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, 15 minutes away. We'll get Jay's thoughts on Will. We'll get Jay's take on Wildeman. We'll get Jay's take on some of the other pass-rushing beasts that Nebraska has for this upcoming class. And that'll be good. Jay likes to get after the quarterback, or at least used to. He might still chase somebody wearing a Santa outfit. Don't know. But Jay Moore with us in 15 minutes. We are out to Will Honus and his coach, Kyle Woodall, from Butler Community College. If that happens, we'll have that at 4:40, hopefully. We are trying to save room for a very Mike Leach Christmas. Got caught up with the Pirate, and the Pirate had some thoughts on Santa Claus, so that may happen here before 6. Next hour, 1 hour from now, Jerry DiNardo will be with us, the coach, Big Ten Network. We'll get Coach's thoughts on Nebraska, his takeaway from Nebraska with this early signing day period. Coach DiNardo, what, they do 7 hours of recruiting yesterday, so we'll get his macro view look on the West and the rest of the league along with Nebraska. Gary Barnett going to be with us next hour. We'll get Barney's thoughts on some of the bowl game matchups for the Big Ten and how he would have handled an early signing day. Coach Barnett did a great job for a lot of years at evaluating and recruiting. So we'll get caught up with him, and maybe we'll tell you about a hot tub with Deb the Spa Lady in a little bit. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. This is your last day to qualify, and the day you win the holiday Hail Mary, the laptop from Schrock, the $100 Jet Splash gift card, the automatic car starter, which I don't know if you got iced today or not, in eastern Nebraska, central Nebraska, western Nebraska, northeast Nebraska. I feel for you if you're just chipping away. And man, it'd be nice to leave work, go outside, and just click it on. Some of you may have that. Fine. Some of us don't. Some of us used to drive something that's got duct tape, okay? So an automatic car starter, part of that holiday, Hail Mary. Listen for Clark and the Hail Mary sounder between now and 5. We'll do it one more time before 5:45-ish with Colton, 80s action star Stone, pulling the lucky name out. Let's get back to recruiting. Let's talk about Will Honus. And you've got a couple of guys that might sign tomorrow still or later on in February. There's still some dudes out there that are projected to be Nebraska. But what you were waiting on was Will Honus, and the feeling you had and a brief text exchange with him this week going into Wednesday was, look, I'm not sure if I'm going to sign this week. That's all Bucky's fault. Wisconsin coming in late. And if you're a linebacker, You're foolish not to consider them. You're foolish not to listen to them. You're foolish not to consider it, okay? So Will Honus had a decision to make. Excuse me. Do I pull the trigger with Nebraska? The uncertainty was, do I fit in a 3-4? All I've done and all I've played is 4-3. Kansas State's near and dear to him. We don't know about Coach Snyder, what he's going to do. Iowa has done a wonderful job of producing linebackers and guys that go to the NFL, and they're just solid. They're really good. He looks like an Iowa linebacker, and his tackle numbers look like an Iowa linebacker. But Barrett Rood in Nebraska did a wonderful job of hosting. Tate Wildeman yesterday on the show told us that Nebraska fans would be happy by Friday. That's the only tip he gave us. He's close with Will Honus. So what Nebraska has here is a guy that spent the last 2 years at Butler, same place Levante David went. And Butler went 15-8, but in this season, Honus had 96 tackles in 11 games, 3 sacks, 2 picks, 1 he took back to the house, and he averaged about 9 tackles a contest. That ranked near top 20 nationally. He's the number 2 rated JUCO linebacker, kind of like Levante, kind of like Gomes, kind of like some of the other Haig, kind of like some of the other impact guys that come in and can fit into a system. So whether you're a star guy or not, I'm going to give it to you. ESPN ranks him as a 4-star prospect, the top inside linebacker, according to ESPN and 24/7. And listen, he's one of the top 35 players in JUCO and the number 2 linebacker and the number 2 player that was out there. So Nebraska just got a major, major haul at linebacker. And think about this, if you're Nebraska, what do you have at linebacker right now? Well, you've seen some good from Mo Berry, but not a lot of Mo Berry. Chris Weber has graduated. Colin Miller's looked good at times on the inside. But those are two young guys. You have Avery Roberts, too, that was a monster get a year ago at this time, right, or in February. So you have some guys there, but you have guys that are ready to step in and be the man. And that's the option you have here with Honus. I believe, and check me on this, Honus will have 2 years. I believe he'll have 2 years for Nebraska. Williams has 3 years, the safety that's coming in as part of the JUCO haul from Scott Frost. So Nebraska able to beat out Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas State. Honus is a kid out of Wichita. So what do you got here? What are some of the traits that Nebraska gets in Will Honus? Well, you get that need I just talked about. You get one of the top inside linebackers in this recruiting cycle, and you can theoretically get him up to speed. He'll get to campus. The thing that was worrisome is if he doesn't sign by Friday, he's going to take an official to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin's school year starts almost 2 weeks later than Nebraska's. Nebraska's second semester for him to get in school, for him to get going academically, for him to get going in the winter conditioning. Best case, you're here by prior to January 8th when second semester starts. Worst case, it's January 15th. But you can't take visits in the second semester till January 12th. So it was getting down to it. Barrett Rood, tremendous with this. When it came to connecting and landing Will Honus. So you get a linebacker, and you get a guy that's a tough guy that can play Big Ten football. You get a tough guy that's supposed to be able, and by watching him and what he's done at this level, he'll be able to get in and out of would-be blocks, make hits, make tackles. He is Big Ten physical. He's Wisconsin good, right, at linebacker. And that's not a jab at Nebraska fans. It's just he's their type of linebacker. What else do you have? The thing about about Will Honus is he's a dude that doesn't jack around with wasted movement a lot. He can run. He gets, as they term it, downhill. I always think of a guy getting downhill, a big back getting that first block and then annihilating somebody trying to tackle him, and then he's giving your safety a piggyback ride. Well, flip it around. When you get a linebacker that can diagnose, attack, and has good feet to know where to go and then make the hit, he's got really good speed, okay? And this is probably where him and Barrett hit it off. The instincts. You can be fast, you can be strong, but when it comes to football IQ and playing middle linebacker or an inside linebacker spot, you got to know what the hell's going on with the other team's formation, offense, all that good stuff. Both those guys are a lot alike. God-given talents, yes, but the instinct is what sets them apart, and you can play maybe faster than you are. And let's talk fit here, too, with Nebraska and what they want to do defensively. You saw minimal aggressiveness from last year's defense. It was sit back and get punched in the face till you pass out. That's not how Chenander's defense is going to do it. They're going to play fast. They're going to try and go blow things up. He's an All-American. That's good. I've been, pumping up Barrett Rood, and that's key. Ryan Held also all over it, and he's got a great history with JUCOs as well. So that's the rundown and what you got right now. Commitment breakdown-wise, you got Legron, or as Cranack will call him Saturday, Legron-ass man. You got Adrian Martinez, we had yesterday. Justin McGriff, the old crime dog. Let's just wear that out now. Is going to be a guy that will probably sign Friday. Deontay Williams, defensive back. Greg Bell at the I-back spot. Honus, Woodyard. C.J. Smith is supposed to get things handled here, I would say, in February. I don't think he's signed yet. Alston is somebody I'm excited for Jay Moore to talk about. Wildeman also. Farniak and Cam Jurgens. That's what it looks like right now for Nebraska. And I think as a Nebraska fan, Brett is jumping in here. Honus, he thinks, has 3 years. Can we confirm that? Any way to Google that thing? He played two, freshman and sophomore at Butler. I know Williams has three. We'll check on that, Brett. Thanks for the reach out there on Twitter. But let me text old Greg Smith on that one. The addition's a bit edgy for me. Good news for Nebraska, though. They've got Honus. He's a big-time player. And aside from Martinez and Bell and Williams, I like Honus a lot. He's a guy I felt Nebraska needed to get. Not just, well, you want to get him, sure, but you have to get him. You have to get him. And if he's a guy that can be a trigger guy in this defense at a just crucial spot at middle linebacker, inside linebacker, while you have some options with Moe and with Roberts and with Colin Miller, but you got a guy who's played at the JUCO level and played a lot of snaps the last couple of years, that's doing yourself a service. We'll talk with Jay Moore shortly about Will Honus, and we'll run down the how many years he has to play. Get down to Sauter Heyman. Listen, friends, it is the 21st of December. And if you don't win the Holiday Hail Mary, I got no else help for you with taking care of mama for this holiday season. Rick's got 0% interest financing through 2020. There's an extensive collection of Earth Mined and Pure Grown diamonds. And there's 1-carat diamonds available. $99 down, that's a hundy. You can walk out with a 1-carat diamond and then make your payments, $99 a month. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. You can log on, sauterheyman.com. And Santa, Rick, will take care of you as 'tis the season, right? Off and running on a Thursday, Will Honus is in. What's the latest on Messiah Swinson? Well, Jimbo Fisher, come on down. A&M has offered Messiah. They did so today. Now, the announcement for Messiah Swinson, Long Island, New York, Long Island Lutheran tight end, 6'8". He's probably not going to make that announcement just yet. My gut says that Friday's the day, and I've been saying that for a couple of days now. I'm saying Friday's the day, well, for sure now, because he'll listen to A&M. He'll listen to Texas A&M. If I were to ballpark this, man, I would have put probably like a 70% chance of Missouri Tiger on Messiah, 30% chance in Nebraska. Now I've got to recalibrate because he may listen to Jimbo and A&M. We'll figure that out. We'll figure out Honus, how many years he has to play, but minimum of two, right? Maybe three. Jay Moore, Blackshirt, Husker, NFLer. Coming up, great to be with you on a Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Well, this is pretty good. Coach Woodall from Butler County is going to be with us tomorrow. And he says, ha ha. You couldn't get my guy to talk, could you? Will Hodes, not a stage guy. His stage is between the white lines. Good for him. Well, cool. Coach Woodall will join us tomorrow on the show. Blackshirt NFLer and longtime Husker standout. He might be wearing a Santa hat. Don't know if he's fed the reindeer. Jay Moore is with us at JayMoore44. Bird, Merry Christmas. How are you?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas to you guys in the studio, and all is good.
Well, good, man. Is it slick out?
No, it's not too bad, actually. We're just out. Had to get a little man's daycare, so it's actually not bad at all. It's just wet roads, so I imagine it might get a little slicker later if we get any snow, but not too bad out yet.
Well, good. Me and Colton have chipped in and got you a Cousin Eddie blue leisure suit. You down?
Oh, absolutely down. I'm down. No. Hopefully you got a dickie to go with it though too.
I did. We did get that. Let's not further bore others with my thought of Jay and a Cousin Eddie leisure suit. Let's talk Will Honus, linebacker, just committed to Nebraska. He's number two JUCO player in the country, number one linebacker, and we're trying to figure out how many years he has to play. The general rule is 3 years to play two. I was also told that he sat out his freshman year due to an injury, so we'll get things sorted out. But you know what he did last year at Butler. You know how good that program's been. And what's your reaction to what you've seen and heard about Will Honus and how he fits in Shenander's aggressive defense?
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. Obviously, when you have programs like Wisconsin and Iowa who have a great history of producing, top-notch linebackers coming after you, you can win over those two teams who are obviously you're battling a year in, year out for the Western Division here in the Big Ten. That's big time. Just a really good football player, honestly. He reminds me quite a bit of his new coach, his new linebacker coach, Barrett Roode. And just the way he plays and performs, just smart, aggressive. He's just a good overall football player. He has good instincts, good athletic ability, good speed, good strength. I mean, there's a reason why he's ranked as high as he was in the JUCO rankings. I mean, it's a good football player. Butler is an excellent football program. We've had plenty of guys when I was at Nebraska that came from Butler. You know, Kenny Wilson, was one of the running backs when I was there that came from Butler. A lot of good history down there. Excited to have him. Excited, to, you know, he's gonna be one of those guys who you might be able to plug and play right away. So that's an excellent thing for Nebraska. Excited that he decided to jump on board with us and that we beat out Iowa and Wisconsin, more importantly.
No, and that's just it. And I look at the Josie Jewels and pick a Wisconsin linebacker, right, between Iowa and Wisconsin, and what type of havoc those guys played on Nebraska and played on many teams. It's the D-line did a good job, but those linebackers made the plays. And to get a guy like Honus is impressive. It's important. Let's go back to the Barrett-Rude factor, because you got Ryan Held and Barrett that really were the point men on this. And you had a guy that was, from reading into this anyway, that was a little apprehensive about Nebraska because it's a 3-4, and he was comfortable, and he's been a 4-3 guy. And Barrett's, for the longest time, has been a 4-3 guy, but he's been around a 3-4 the last few years at Central Florida now. And how do you think that conversation went, knowing Barrett like you do, with Will on the switch and the responsibility and the job as an inside linebacker versus just being the middle linebacker?
Yeah, I think, well, Barrett can speak to it very specifically. You know, he, you know, playing in Tampa Bay's, you know, Monty Kiffin, Tampa 2, you know, type of defense for all those years. But once Barrett left Tampa Bay, you know, he bounced around to some teams that did play 3-4s. You want to talk about the Houston Texans, the time spent in New England. I can't remember when he was at the Saints. I can't remember if they were in a 3-4 or 4-3 at the time. I know they bounced back and forth. The Bears made the switch. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's played his whole college career at the 4-3, played his base of his prime of his NFL career in a 4-3, but then moved to a 3-4. I mean, Barrett can definitely speak to that specifically and kind of tie up any loose ends or any concerns that Will may have had, you know, and just talk about that. I mean, that's the thing. That's what's so great about having a guy like Barrett who's been there, who's played, and can just speak to the level, you know, talk about, well, when I was with Tampa Bay, when I was with New England, and this is what Belichick was doing, when I was with the Houston Texans, and this is what they were doing. I mean, that speaks volumes to recruits and how they, you know, wow, I'm going to go play for a guy that, I mean, just retired from the game of football not too long ago. So everything's still fresh and it's relevant. And I'm sure the name still stands out. Oh, yeah, I remember watching these games and hearing Barrett's name. So that helps. But just having Barrett's transition from a 4-3 to 3-4 has definitely got to help. And then, obviously, with Held and his JUCO connections, that was also a plus to get him in here. And let's be honest, I think with Scott Frost and everything, he was just a hot commodity, the hot name. It's almost, you know, it's the in vogue, you know, coach right now. And guys want to be a part of this and be a part of the uprising and get Nebraska, you know, back on the map. And, you know, putting that all, that, you know, those three guys all together, I sure helped, you know, help Will make it a pretty easy decision.
Well, and Will, too, is a guy that, I mean, I've, you know better than I, but just watching his feet and just how he is able to get and deliver the hit versus absorb the hit. You're supposed to do that as a inside linebacker, but he does it very well. That's difference making. And when you think of Colin Miller and Mo Berry and Avery Roberts, just the three young guys on the interior, plus you bring in this guy that can ball out of JUCO, it's really pretty advantageous, isn't it, for this new aggressive defense they want to put in?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You gotta have those guys in the inside spot, those two guys part of that 3-4. I mean, you know, you're only gonna go as far as, you know, what those three guys are up front are doing to help protect you. But you still gotta have some dogs, some guys that can go and eat and do their thing when they're not getting much help. And that's shocking guards and they get up on the next level. That's button and pressing, that's getting off of blocks, going to make them play. Sometimes you got to go make your own play. You can't rely on, you know, some other guys sometimes. You got to go do your own thing and go and make it happen. That's what Will's able to show on film. That's what, you know, we haven't seen a lot. We've seen some of Mo, seen some of Colin. Didn't see much of Avery. You know, he was predominantly just on special teams this year, but that's what those guys will have to do. And just, you know, and having a kid, I mean, let's not be honest. I mean, JUCO is a step down, but we're Butler and you know, Arizona Western, some of these other JUCO schools. I mean, that's some big boy football now. So having him and compete at the highest level, and you know, I imagine he'd be able to step in and show the way pretty quickly to some of those other guys. And those guys might have a little step up too, just, you know, being in somewhat of a 3-4. I know what Diaco did and what Chandler is going to do is vastly different in a 3-4s. But it's I tell you what, it's an excellent add to that room. He's going to provide tremendous, you know, talent, smarts, you know, and like you said, he has that, the ability to, the feet and the, you know, the stuff that you really can't coach, he has, and that he's, you know, it's that God-given ability, and that's what I'm really excited about.
Jay Bird, a couple of thoughts here on two of the pass rush guys, defensive end slash linebacker, David Alston out of Minnesota, Tate Wildeman out of Colorado. Thoughts on both of these guys. Nebraska in this defense will want to absolutely get after the quarterback and do so with some of their down linemen.
Yeah, you know, those are going to be your, you know, your prototypical, you know, your outside linebackers in that 3-4. You know, you look at those, I think, you know, Alston have to get a little bigger. Mm-hmm. That will come. But what he has is the speed. That's nice. That's another thing when you get to college. You know, you'll get a little faster, but it's not like you can just go out there and coach it and teach it. It's what you're usually what you got when you walked in there. That's what you end up, you know, that's what you got. So, you know, those are good qualities to have. But those guys are those straight up 3-4 guys. You know, I think, you know, I don't know exactly what they played in high school as far as defenses, but I know that it'll take some time. I mean, there's some raw capabilities, but they, you know, they'll have to learn the system, learn the position. You know, playing the 2-point versus the 3-point. When against the run is vastly different. I've said before, in talking about Diaco's schemes with the new guys coming in over the spring. But it's two great additions. I mean, they're just good football players, and overall, they're just good athletes. That's what you've seen with what Frost and companies trying to get after. Is if you're a good athlete first and foremost, everything will take care of itself. We'll teach you the techniques. We'll teach you. We'll get you bigger. We'll get you stronger. But as long as you have the feet, the speed, the athleticism, the proprioception, the ability to move in space, make plays, you know, we'll get you there. And those guys definitely have those instincts and those qualities that when they get there with Frost, with Chandler, with Duvall and the strength system, they'll be ready to play. I just think it's going to take some time for those guys to reach that potential. But, you know, but they're definitely awesome additions in this signing class.
Jay Moore with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay, about 90 seconds. We had Tate Wildeman on yesterday, and he's thinking he'll be 290 to 300 pounds. How difficult is it to put on 35, 40 pounds and still keep your lateral quickness?
Well, it's a little difficult. You know, I didn't realize he was looking to add on that. If that's the case,
I think he's going to come in about 260, and then he'll add.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was thinking just with the, you know, watching film of him. You know, he's a great already outside linebacker body. But if he's looking to put on 30, 40, you know, he's going to be a 5 technique in that 3-4 or 4. You know, 4 technique, uh-huh, playing ahead up on the tackle. That's what I see it. So that's where I would see him already going. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, is he going to put his hand down in the dirt every play and play over the tackle? 70% of the game, until you get into your obvious pass rush situations. So that's good. I mean, he obviously has a frame to put it on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lateral quickness, you know, that's nice to have, but it's not as huge of a concern. You know, if he was a 290-pound outside linebacker, you know, he'd be a freak athlete to be able to do it. But now, with you saying that, you know, he's definitely going to have to be a hand-in-the-dirt type of guy, which is great. He has the frame to do it. Again, that will take some time. I'll say, you know, it's just working out right, eating right, doing the right things, and it'll be on in a couple of years. And I'm sure it'll be, you know, we'll be talking about him all the time when he gets to that weight.
Bird, you have a great Christmas. We'll get caught up soon. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yep, you got it. Have a Merry Christmas to you, Smitty.
See you, bud. Take care. Jay Moore with us, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, at Jay Moore 44.
We're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
20 minutes away, Jerry DiNardo coming up, Big Ten Network. We'll get caught up with Gary Barnett, and we may have time tomorrow for Mike Leach's Christmas story. Colton, you want to hear this now.
I mean, it's Mike Leach, so yeah.
Yeah, but we still have recruiting and
that's true.
Stuff to talk.
I guess recruits are important.
Well, yes, very.
Especially finding out, you know, if who's going to wait and
right
who might not sign at all.
Right. So we'll keep it here and maybe towards the end of the program, before we do the holiday Hail Mary, a very Mike Leach Christmas, maybe tomorrow. It's one of the best stories he's ever told us. Ever. And he's told us 1,000 stories, from Roman candle fights to dirt clod wars to riding a motorcycle and playing chicken with a semi in Cody, Wyoming, to ripping off his son-in-law's Netflix stuff so he could watch the rest of Breaking Bad. It was great. But this Christmas story from Mike Leach and just badgering his parents for years, and then being heartbroken, lied to. It's pretty good. We'll figure it out. Okay, the news of the day. Will Honus is in. Ralph Brown will be with us tomorrow. His checklist is as follows. Field awareness, explosive hips, excellent closing speed, great hands. It's a George Costanza line. I got great hands. Sideline to sideline. A-plus blitzer, can shed blocks, very disruptive. So this is something that's been away for a while, the junior college prospect. And it's nice to go back to it if you're a Nebraska fan. I got corrected. I said that Levante David went to Butler. He's a Fort Scott guy, so a shout out to the social media guy for correcting me on that. But, I mean, listen, the point's well taken. There's just a lot of talent down in the Jayhawk League. There just is. Let's list off, right, some of the additions to a Nebraska defense. Shut your eyes and think about this. And Honus has got to come in and be good and be productive and do his thing. But what's Nebraska's defense like? And I might get crushed for this, but without Damian Stafford. I know he didn't have a great Big Ten title game. I know he had a really bad Big Ten title game. But his senior season, Damian Stafford was pretty instrumental in a couple of interceptions and a game-changing fumble at the goal line against Penn State. You know, when Bo said Lentz went out post the Ohio State bludgeoning, Stafford was key. Dejon Gomes, I have not seen a better takeaway guy in a long, long time, probably since Terrell Farley. Gomes is a San Francisco City College guy, but he's a JUCO. Mo Purify, game changer at wideout. Loved him. Who else do you have from the JUCO ranks? Eric Haig. So if you do it right, if you absolutely do it right, Zach Bowman, I know, didn't like light the world on fire. He's a pretty high-profile guy. Was very good at times. He's a dude that was, you know, I mean, he played a long, long time in the NFL. So if you do it right, and I think Scott Frost is going to do it right when it comes to the evaluation, the selectivity of who you bring in to help enhance your team. And then the mother of all JUCO guys, Terrell Farley and Mike Rozier. So I like this. The role you need to identify is what? Well, where's Nebraska thin at? Linebacker. Where's Nebraska thin at? Wide receiver. Where's Nebraska thin at? Defensive back. You got to go just make hay with it. And I like what Jay said earlier. And that's the fact that some of these JUCOs, and Randy Gregory was an Arizona Western guy, they are really high levels of ball. You're getting a really good talent that played against really good talent. We'll see if Nebraska, how often they go to that well. Here is Scott Frost from yesterday, got 15. When it comes to his philosophy on JUCOs, and again, it's the icing on the cake. It's the fit, and it's the evaluation to go after, and then ultimately land a guy like that versus wasting time and not getting him.
We're going to take the right kids, and sometimes the right kids are high school kids, and sometimes they ended up somewhere else. But I don't want to make a living off junior college players, but if they're good kids and we think they can play and that's what we're doing, we're going to give them an opportunity. I think you're crazy if you rule out any option or any method of getting players that can help you win football games. And like I said, we got to make sure they're the right people and they're good people and good enough players to help us. If they check all those boxes, we're certainly going to recruit them, whether they're at a high school or a junior college.
Okay, so there's part of that look-see into evaluation, that look-see into really digging deep, and the good people. And you hear the term, you know, you went to JUCO for a reason. Well, a lot of it's academics. And a lot of the academic issues you can't recover from if you're jacking around your freshman or sophomore year. Damage is done. You may still graduate high school, but you're screwed for an overall GPA. And if you don't get the GPA and the test score, your partial qualifier thing is no more, right? Back in the day, before you joined the Big 12, you could get the SAT or you could have the GPA. At least to get in. So we'll see where Nebraska goes. Tomorrow, Kyle Woodall will be with us on Hail Varsity. He's the linebacker coach at Butler and coached Will Honus. So that is good stuff. 466-3776, 466-3776-800, 825-5865. And when you look at guys that are supposed to be instant impact guys, you have four guys now for Nebraska. Deontay Williams at the kind of the corner safety nickel spot. You have your quarterback and Martinez. Bell is your eye back. Now you have Honus at linebacker. Pretty good. Pretty good four guys of the 11 you have inked right now with maybe some more news. Jimbo Fisher, Messiah Swinson, we'll see where that goes. Does Missouri get an answer? Does Arizona State stay in the mix? Where's Nebraska at? The Nebraska connection was the head coach at Long Island Lutheran. He is no longer the head coach at Long Island Lutheran. So how much pull does Nebraska have? They had enough pull to get him here. Check things out. Do they have enough pull to close by Friday? Your chance to qualify coming up with Hail Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, we'll get Jerry DiNardo's thoughts on Nebraska's class. He was part of 7 hours of recruiting coverage yesterday on the Big Ten Network. Coach Gary Barnett on the way. Want to remind you about health and wellness, Madonna Therapy Plus. And I know football season's over, but there is basketball, and it's still possible to get dinged and get that concussion for your son or daughter if they're playing youth ball. Maybe you're playing pickup. And research confirms concussions must be identified immediately and managed properly for a quick and full recovery. If you're an athlete in that life of yours, the young one, or you yourself experience a similar sports-related injury like a concussion, trust Madonna Therapy Plus to tackle it head-on. They're the leader in concussion rehab. Madonna Therapy Plus experts, they have a tailored program for the young athlete through every stage of the recovery, the right treatment, the right plan, and the most advanced technique and technology to get that athlete of yours successfully back in the classroom, or you maybe back to work, back on the playing field. 3 locations, Madonna Therapy Plus in Lincoln and a West Omaha location to serve you. Log on today and do so, therapyplus.org. if you've suffered or you know someone or love someone who's suffered a concussion, get that treatment and get that recovery. Okay, let's get you qualified one more time this hour, and we'll get you qualified next hour before the giveaway. 1 hour from now, Colton Stone will pull the winner for the Holiday Hail Mary up for grabs. When you hear the Griswold Hail Mary sounder, a laptop from Schrock Innovations, a Viper course starter with auto sounds, that's valued just shy of, $500, and then a Jet Splash gift card of $100. So, good stuff. We'll get you qualified right now.
'Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nipply out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line!
And we're going
to
have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
And caught!
Caller 5 right now qualifies for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. Okay, caller 5 qualifies, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Caller 5 qualifies. Colton's anxiously awaiting to take caller 5. 1 hour from now, the giveaway. And are you going to do the old shake and bake, the old prize box, and then pull the name? Have you figured out a new technique? Are you pretty solid?
I think we're going to go with the shake the box, just try to mix it up as much as possible. I feel like a lot of people are going to be mad at me, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I can only pick one.
So. I get that, but hey, you got to get in and be caller 5. And you've been very polite with everybody.
Yeah.
You just say you're not it. You haven't just slammed it down on him.
Yeah, I don't just drop the call before I even pick it up. I could do that. Don't give him a chance at all.
You're not pulling a Danny.
Right. Just hang up on everybody.
Danny's like, I need a smoke break. Kidding, Danny's family. If you're listening on the ESPN Lincoln app. Quick timeout. Jerry DiNardo next. Gary Barnett on the way. Hail Varsity Hour 2 continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you're in eastern Nebraska, specifically Lincoln, it's getting a bit slick and icy out, so be careful. If you're hearing us around different parts of the state, please be careful. It's not great out west, I don't think. So, yeah, happy holidays. Here's a sheet of ice to navigate through. Signing day is over. 7 hours plus of coverage on the Big Ten Network, and he loves recruiting. The coach, Jerry DiNardo, with us to start off hour two at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, how we doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thank you.
Appreciate the time, Coach. So you look at the Big Ten as a whole. Let's start there before we get to Nebraska. What wowed you most yesterday?
Well, you know, obviously there continues to be an imbalance with the East and the West. And so it looks like right now Ohio State's 2 in the country, Penn State's 4. And then you've got Maryland and Michigan State in the top 20. And then in the West, you know, the two intriguing stories we talked about, you mentioned our 7-hour show, the two intriguing stories we talked about was Minnesota had the best class in the West, which isn't a big surprise. I mean, we thought this could happen when PJ was hired there. And then, obviously, Nebraska is an intriguing story, not necessarily because of their class, but, you know, we're all watching very closely what their niche is going to be. I think it's great timing for Scott Frost to just sign a top 10 class in the future. They've got all the resources. Bill Moose is going to give them whatever he wants. Meaning staff in the back room, as they call it nowadays, because there's no rule on how much staff you can have in recruiting. They just can't do a lot of things with the prospects, the facilities, the new rules. And so we're all anxious a year from today to anticipate maybe a top 15 class, and then the year after maybe a top 10 class.
Jared Innardo is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What did Scott Frost show you from just this limited time? What's he done, and has he impressed you?
Well, he's just scrambled. I mean, we've all been there, right? If you're a coach and you're taking over for a fire coach, you've been in this scramble position. So you do the best you can. It looks like he brought a couple guys that were committed to UCF. It looks like he honored Mike Riley's commitments. He just did the best that he could. I don't think we're even scratched the surface yet. Again, the new rule. One thing I've been thinking about, knowing that you and I were going to talk today, Chris, is, everybody jumped all over me when I said something about the black shirts. Another tradition that I remember at Nebraska when Coach Osborne was rocking and rolling, that Nebraska took partial and non-qualifiers. And when Nebraska became part of the Big 12, I remember Coach Osborne being very upset that that was no longer going to be true. The Big 10 can take non or partial qualifiers. So if I was Scott Frost, and if I was Matt Davidson, I would look into this. It's a strong part of your tradition. It's a great way to supplement, just like the walk-ons are. Minnesota signed a partial qualifier a few years ago. He was a running back, no more than 3 or 4 years ago. So I don't think the rule has changed. But I bet Matt Davidson knows more about this than I do. And I think it's a tradition that Nebraska could bring back. And it was unique to Nebraska when they were in the Big Eight. It really helped them build the program. And I just don't know all the ins and outs of it right now like Matt would know.
No, and we'll reach out to Matt on that, Ben. I remember, and we talked with Coach McBride, and he loved having that option. And then when you joined the Big 12, it went away, and it was done away with to hurt
right.
Nebraska. And from a coaching standpoint, tell me a little bit about your side of the aisle on that, going after a kid and taking partial qualifiers, navigating through that and just that type of player. And what I mean by that type of player, a kid that just needs some extra time and help in the classroom, but he'll bust his butt to do it. Were you okay? Did you gamble on the partial qualifiers, or did you stay away from them?
Well, the SEC doesn't allow them, Chris. This is even more of a bonanza for Nebraska.
Okay.
I mentioned this to Bo Pelini a few years ago, and he looked at me like I had two heads. I mean, the SEC can't do it. The Big Ten can do it. Now, I think the Big Ten has certain rules. I think it has to be a partial qualifier, not a non-qualifier. But again, Minnesota did it maybe 2-3 years ago. I remember just talking to the kid at practice. You can't practice freshman year. That's how Coach Osborne did it. If you're asking me where I stand on this,
yeah,
I stand for opportunity for young people. There's students out there that are good students, bad test takers. There's no doubt they need tutors and all that. Remember, for all the flack I got about the black shirts, I constantly said Nebraska used to be on the cutting edge with Boyd Epley and strength training. They used to be on the cutting edge with academic support. And I'm not saying they're not now, but that's the Nebraska I remember. So the academic support for a partial qualifier is critical, but the kids aren't practicing. You can go down to the SEC footprint, and instead of those kids going to a junior college, they can come to Nebraska. I don't think they count against your scholarship limits. I just think it needs to be looked at. Matt may look at it and say it's not practical like it used to be, and Jerry's wrong. The rule has changed. The Big Ten can't take it. I'm just saying, when I was thinking about Nebraska today, I was thinking, you know what? This used to be a part of their tradition and their culture, and it was a great thing. They should look at bringing it back.
Let's go to JUCOs. Nebraska able to get the number two JUCO player in the country signing today. Will Honus, the linebacker out of Butler down in Kansas and Iowa and Wisconsin, was late in on him, and it was big for Nebraska. Do you remember seeing much on him at all, Coach?
No, I haven't seen a snap.
Now, okay.
I, You know, I mean, I've been the Butler. I mean, I used to recruit there, and Brian McNeely was the head coach there. I hired him when I was at Indiana and all that. So historically, it's a really good program. And when you said, am I impressed with what Scott's done? Well, this is part of that impression, right? You just scramble. But make no mistake about it. His classes are going to get whatever he does this year, whoever grades this year's class, I suspect the future classes are going to just be so much better. Because I just have a lot of confidence that he's going to attract some of the best players in the country.
Coach, with the scramble mode being what it is, and you're doing two jobs at Nebraska and at Central Florida, and he hit the recruiting trail like a madman, Coach Frost did, but he's also been coaching his kids, getting ready for Auburn. Right now, Nebraska sits at 11 of the 19. And that number could grow per Coach Frost yesterday on his conference call. You're going to do what now? How would you approach February as it looms, knowing that maybe a name or two maybe sign with you tomorrow, maybe they don't, but you're at 11. Most of the Big Ten, 85-90% got most of their class signed yesterday. Nebraska the lowest because of this transition. Cornerbacks and wideouts are going to be the focus. How would you go after it? Would you go try and find senior film guys here for February, or would you go JUCO heavy?
Both. Remember this, Chris. Here's what Coach Frost is dealing with now. Now, I don't know his positional needs, but you only have 85 scholarships. If you can't sign more than 25, okay, you sign as many this year as you can and still let yourself sign 25 next year. So it's math. It's roster management. Now, if he signs so many people this year that next year he only can sign 20, that's probably not good strategy. So whatever his number is, and I can't explain it to you clearly and specifically on the phone in 2 minutes, but you're allowed 85. You can't give more than 25 in any given year. Well, 4 times 25 is 100. That means 15 are missing. So it's a little bit confusing. But the short of it is, don't sign a kid this year if it means you can't max out next year.
Right.
So if you can count to 25 next year, that means only 17 this year, then sign 17. Whether they're junior colleges or late bloomers, it doesn't matter. Because if you can't go over 85... You know, you're going to be under the – if you can't go over 25, rather, a year from now, you might as well fill your roster just so you can practice, even if they're not great players. You have to practice.
You do, and that's kind of an emphasis for him with trying to get the numbers up. That's going to be something that's looked at by the AD coach, by Frost, by folks that are in the athletic administration. Do you have a way or a suggestion? I mean, any thought as if Nebraska wants to expand that roster from 130 or 135 that Mike had closer to 10 or hell, maybe 15, say they have 150 on the team, does that mean Nebraska's got to, from a Title IX equity standpoint, do they have to start a program from scratch so the numbers are equal? How do they navigate getting a larger roster?
Chris, nowadays you can't go over 105.
Okay.
Basically, you have 85 scholarships and 20 walk-ons. You can't have the numbers. Like you and I have talked before, that centerfold in Sports Illustrated years ago, the aerial shot of Nebraska practice where everyone's on their back doing like sit-ups is legendary. There must have been like 150 guys on the team. But because of gender equity and Title IX, for every male athlete you have on one side of the equation, you have to have another on the other side. Plus, the rule says you only can have 85 scholarships and you're only allowed to bring 105 into camp. Then after camp, I think the number goes to 120. I'm not as familiar, obviously, with all the rules as I used to be. But I know this. There's more rules now than when Coach Osborne had his walk-on program. But also I know this, Wisconsin's got one heck of a walk-on program. And so it can still be done.
Okay.
And it should be done in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's the birthplace of a great walk-on program.
Couple more minutes. Jerry DiNardo with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, as we move forward here in the West, we spent a lot of time here talking Nebraska. Let's go back to some of the other teams. Let's spend a minute on Purdue and a minute on Minnesota and where they're trending, not only with how they did recruiting-wise, but just some of the young blood they have there wearing the headset with Brohm and Fleck. Do you see both programs ascending, not only from a recruiting standpoint, but a record standpoint? Can the West get pretty good and pretty deep?
It can. Now, whether it can catch the East or not, you know, the problem...
Let's focus on the West just getting better. I mean, the East is the
East right now. Things are going to get better in West Lafayette. Things are going to get better in Minnesota. I think things are going to stay steady in Madison. Illinois is a little bit, it's hard to tell what's going on there. Pat Fitzgerald does a good job, but if you look at his last 5 years in recruiting, he's always in the 50s. So I don't anticipate that getting better. So if you're looking at the West, it's going to be Nebraska. It's going to be Wisconsin. It's going to be Iowa. And then you're going to see Minnesota and Purdue taking swings at Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, and Northwestern. That's how I see it. The West is in better shape now than it's been in several years. But again, recruiting is a big deal, and that's where it's going to show up if they want to be competitive with the East.
A last thought here. I want to go to the East and talk Michigan. What's your read and gauge on the job Harbaugh's done, and do you think he's still got that magic when it comes to recruiting? I don't doubt his evaluation ability, but he's been a top five, top ten recruiting guy. At least that's the image I have in my mind. How do you think that's going in Ann Arbor?
Well, they're 5-4 in conference this year. That's how it's going.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were third the last 2 years. This is his third year, and they're going in the wrong direction. So they're 5-4. Here's what I think about their recruiting, okay? I don't know that I'm right. This is from afar, okay? They've got terrific players on defense, okay? Why don't they have terrific players on offense? And I think there could be a couple reasons. First of all, they have to find a quarterback. Second, are they in a formation that's not popular to recruit? You know, one of the things Scott Frost brings to Nebraska, not only the new rule and the facilities and the money, because Bill Moose has got to make this work. He's got an exciting offense. Mm-hmm. Okay, can Michigan continue to build, or can not continue to build? Can Michigan build on offense with a pro formation? Sometimes, everyone's in the box. And what about their staff? Are their assistant coaches on offense good recruiters? Mm-hmm. Because why are they so talented on defense and not on offense? Why are kids not attracted to come to Michigan to play offense, and yet they're attracted to come to defense? I say it could be scheme. The quarterback's a problem, because if you don't have a good quarterback, no one else can be good on offense or really good. And the third thing, maybe their offensive staff isn't as dynamic maybe as some of their defensive coaches.
Coach, you have a great Christmas and a happy holiday. We'll get caught up after the new year. Love chatting with you and appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. Jerry DiNardo, that was fun. That was good stuff from Coach. And we appreciate him on Hail Varsity. And he's all fired up. He's pretty impressed with Nebraska. We'll talk to another coach. He just let me know it's 55 and sunny down in Arizona. Coach Gary Barnett is on the way. But if you missed or just got part of Coach DiNardo, a lot to think about or get into there and catch up on with the podcast. HailVarsity.com or iTunes. A quick break, and we'll get caught up with Gary Barnett next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Reminder about Wilderness Ridge. WildernessRidgeGolf.com can log on. I wouldn't advise teeing off there now, but New Year's Eve, how's that? Take that lovely wife of yours, your girlfriend, whatever the case, and share those memories and celebrate a new year at Wilderness Ridge. The lodge is just so tasty. Good stuff, great food, wine, and all the selection you want. The limited dinner menu is available, and the complimentary champagne toast. Get your reservation. now, 402-434-5118. Make your reservation New Year's Eve from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Open for lunch and dinner. And be sure to make your way this new year to Wilderness Ridge. We welcome in where it's sunny and 55, I'm told. Gary Barnett, coach at Colorado Northwestern Sports USA and the Buff Radio Network. Coach, how are we doing?
Doing pretty well, Chris. It's actually a little warmer down in Phoenix. It's probably in the 60s, but I didn't want to rub it in.
You didn't want to run it up?
No, I didn't want to run it up. I didn't want to pile on.
I got a question here. Okay, so Lane Kiffin's doing his thing in the bowl game, and he's up a lot on Terry Bowden.
Speaking of piling on?
Yeah, speaking of piling on. And he's up a lot of points, and he's going against old Terry Bowden. And I remember Terry Bowden's teams when he's coaching Auburn, right? I mean, the only team that could beat Spurrier was Terry. They just couldn't go to a bowl game. And so he runs it, and Lane in the post game's like, yeah, my bad. We ran it up because somebody made a comment that I took the wrong way. Is there an instance where you remember someone running it up on you, or did you ever pull the trigger and run it up on anybody?
I never pulled the trigger and ran it up at all. Purposely, maybe guys stumbled into the end zone that weren't supposed to, but no, I never did that. The whole Lane Kiffin thing is just a continuous, I don't know what to call it, but it doesn't stop. It's like it's a tape, and it just keeps running over and over and over. And just when you think it's going to change and it's going to hit the maturity cycle, it never gets there. It just reverts back to the same old tape. So.
Okay, well, that makes sense. It does.
And I did have it run up on me, and, I got it run up on me in the championship game. You know, there was absolutely no need for Texas to be blitzing my quarterback in the end of the third quarter, and we were already down 50 to whatever it was, and his first team's still in, and he's bringing it, and he hits Joel Klatt in the head, and Joel has a concussion that basically keeps him from the next level. So yeah, I had it run up on me there, and by Coach Brown, who has been a close friend, but had it done to me, and it doesn't feel good.
Well, so did you ever say anything to him about it?
You know, I didn't, because I just figured if he doesn't know that he was wrong, then it isn't going to do any good for me to tell him. So, I really didn't want to lower myself to saying it to him, to tell you the truth.
No, that's fine.
If he doesn't know it, and if somebody doesn't tell him, then, he's got to live with that anyway. So, no big deal. I'll get over it. Obviously, I have. You can tell.
You're like, oh, great. Schmidt's on the phone, and we're talking Lane, and now it's running.
All's good.
Good. What do you think of people here impressed, but that's to be expected, but from afar, you loved recruiting. You were really good at it, and it's the early signing period. I want to go local here and talk Nebraska and the job that Frost has done. The class, I think, nationally was ranked 89, 90, 91, something like that, and it's closed all the way up to 40. What's your impression, what's your take on what Scott Frost has done this early signing period?
Well, the whole recruiting thing, I never got into it. We never used the services. We never bought into any of the three or four stars because, until those services say, here's the top players that fit your program, then it didn't do much good for me. And if you don't go to that next step, then all those things don't mean much. Now, on top of that, then you do the rankings of sorts, and all the guys that get ranked, all the guys that are listed by ranking, I don't mean schools, I mean players, they're listed by athletic ability, have nothing to do with grades, have nothing to do with character, have nothing to do with the fit, what part of the country they're in, et cetera. So it doesn't do anybody much good to compare how you did versus all the other schools chasing all those guys. So, you know, it comes down to who you evaluate, how you evaluate, how they fit into your program. Are they good fits for your program, or do they fill your needs? And that's what you got. That's what you're going to coach and live with for the next 3 to 4 years. And number one, he got a quarterback. Long answer to a short question. Number one, he got a quarterback. It looks like he got a big time running back there at the last minute. Mm-hmm. I think. But you know what is really important, Chris, is what he does from this point on, meaning in the recruiting, because we're entering sort of a new world, and I don't think there's any difference between signing date yesterday or today and what it's been. I think the new world starts after this point, and I think this is what's new for everybody, is how you go and uncover guys that haven't been signed or discovered yet, or the guys that have decided not to sign yet. Can you get in that hunt? Mm. So this is all new territory, I think, for everybody. And I think the other thing that's going to happen is that junior recruiting is going to get ramped up early right now, because guys that sign most of their class and don't have to chase anybody are now going to chase juniors. They're going to go out and junior and sophomore recruiting. So that's going to be stepped up earlier than it has been in the past. And these schools that fill their needs already and have all their scholarships or most of their scholarships out there are going to be chasing juniors like crazy. So in Scott's case, and I don't know how many he's got left, but those that he gives out have got to be really good evaluations, or he doesn't give them out. I mean, they've got to be guys that they just can't give them out to numbers. They've got to be guys they really feel good about, or have uncovered or turned over or changed, have recruited away from where they're leaning one way or the other. They can go out and pull them towards Nebraska. So this is where they're going to do their best recruiting, is this period in the next 6 weeks. So that's the challenge.
It's kind of it's year zero, right? You're right. It's a new world.
Exactly.
So how do you react to, how do you evaluate? And were there kids that you knew you wanted by their sophomore or junior year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But then you didn't want to fill up with all those guys, because really your best players end up being late developers.
Okay.
The other thing that makes this new territory is this signing date is really just an earlier signing date of all the rules in the past, the same rules that have gone on. The next signing date, the next one that occurs in December next year, has had the advantage of bringing places like Nebraska, Northwestern, Colorado, bringing kids in during the summer into a climate that's much better than bringing them in December and January. So it's all going to change again. This is just sort of the first step, and it's new. But the biggest step, and the one that'll make a difference, is what's going to happen in next year's recruiting cycle, because kids that can visit Lincoln, in the summer, as opposed to visiting in January, it may make a world of difference. And so all the schools that are in the north are going to have an advantage. All the schools that are in the other areas, I mean the Arizona states, Texas, you know, those places, they don't have the advantage that they used to have. It's all evened out, and that's good, that the playing field gets leveled.
Well, it's always 60 and great in December. I mean, it just is in Lincoln. Have you ever golfed in Lincoln in December? Probably not, because you're getting ready for a bowl game.
You go into those simulators, and it's 60 in there. And, you know, you hope your car doesn't freeze up on the way out. But, right, 60 in Lincoln. It's mm-hmm. been that way. I'm sure there's been a day.
It's 70 in some Februarys. I mean, there's been a couple.
Sure, no question. I believe that totally.
No, it's just not a week-long thing. You'll get one or two dropped in.
Yeah, on right. And it's usually not on the weekend. It's on Wednesday when nobody's recruiting or visiting. So,
I got it crazy. Did you ever have to talk a kid into coming and talk him off the ledge, so to speak, about the weather?
Oh, absolutely.
Did it blow your mind? You're a football player. You're supposed to be tough. Who cares what type of weather it is, right?
Oh, yeah, and of course, the argument you use is all these guys that play in Texas and in the South get drafted and they go to Buffalo, okay? Now, how are you going to play in Buffalo if you've never been in that stuff?
Exactly.
So, or you're going to go to Minnesota. You're going to go to wherever. So, Cleveland. Nobody wants to go to Cleveland, but Chicago. I mean, New York. Guess what? That's where they play football, and you better be used to it. So,
Coach, some rapid fire here. Washington, Penn State. Penn State minus -2.
Yeah, pretty good. I like that. I mean, I think Penn State's just about a 2-point favorite in this game. If the quarterback gets hot for Washington, it'd be a great game. Mm-hmm. If we played him last year in a championship game, and I mean, he went stone cold. So, I like probably the consistency of Penn State, but I like the creativity of Chris Peterson in these games. So I think it's a great matchup. I really do.
SC or Ohio State, Buckeyes minus -7.5.
I wouldn't bet against Sam Darnold.
Okay.
And I think that's too many points.
Okay.
For them to give away. You know, I'd take SC in that with the points in a heartbeat.
Miami, Wisconsin, Badgers minus -5.5.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one too. I like Wisconsin in that game, just because of the want to factor.
Okay.
But Miami isn't lacking either in that situation. But I think top to bottom, probably Wisconsin may have an edge in this game. But that's another matchup. It's a really interesting matchup. Maybe one of the most interesting matchups I think in the bowl season. But that's a good matchup. I like it.
Coach, you have a great Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll get caught up soon. Appreciate you.
Sounds good, Chris.
Take care.
Have a great Christmas.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Really good story out by Paul Meyerberg, USA Today, on his chat with Scott Frost. And, read it, but it's titled Scott Frost Blueprint for Nebraska: Recruit Smart, Develop Players, No Shortcuts. You've heard it said. Well, Paul Meyerberg's story, we'll get to that here in a minute. It's time for you to get to Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, or their Omaha store. Deb, are you wearing a Santa hat?
Well, my elves are. They're out there delivering those Christmas gifts. They've got those pointy-toed shoes on and everything. And those are a little hard to walk in, but, you know, they got to do it. You got to do that. And we're delivering to get tubs in time for Christmas.
That's the ultimate Christmas gift, isn't it? Yeah. You might have some chilly or some icy weather, but get that hot tub in the backyard, in the basement, on the deck, and enjoy Christmas and keep an eye out for Santa, right?
That's right. That's where you could watch for him, for sure. And we've got spas in stock. So I know it's getting close, very close. But let's see, what is tomorrow, Friday?
It is.
Yeah, we've got Friday and Saturday to go yet before Christmas Eve. And we're going to be delivering up until the last minute. So come in, see us. We've got everything marked down. Everything that's in stock is priced to go. So let's do it. Let's do it for Christmas.
Well, and you have spas small enough for all your elves and big enough for Santa.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We have it all. Little two-person spas up to the big swim spas. Everything in between.
So, Deb, to get that gift that keeps on giving and relaxing, the spa from Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, they can see you tomorrow and Saturday. Give us the hours. Folks can come by and see you.
Okay. 10 to 6 tomorrow, Saturday, 10 to 4.
Okay, 10 to 6 tomorrow, 10 to 4 on Saturday.
And it's Saturday, yes,
real correct. Easy. And that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That's right, and for many, many years to come, great family time that you'll just be able to stop and talk to each other for a change. It's I have so many people tell me, oh my gosh, my kids talk to me when we're in the hot tub. We take the time. So it definitely is a family gift.
That's the way to do it. 20th and Highway 2, Home Innovation Spas. Here in Lincoln, a Omaha location, spasonline.com. Now, Deb, before I let you go, how did you handle the KU win?
I went home and sat in the hot tub. I was totally stressed. Wow, what a night.
Yeah.
Well, what a night. All a lot of stress, a lot of excitement. The girls won the national championship. The Chiefs won, and my KU Jayhawks won. It was crazy.
Oh, it was. It was a good time. It was a great sports night. And the only good thing is that Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU that usually is chanted when you guys are up 30. You guys didn't get to belt that one out.
That was a good game. Wow. Couldn't have asked for anything better, for sure.
Well, some of us could have, but that's okay, Deb.
I know.
we'll let you be. You have a Merry Christmas, and we are off next week. You have a Happy New Year, and we'll get caught up soon, Deb. We love you. Thanks so much.
Sounds great, Chris. Take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I can see Deb, like, you know, wiping her brow. As KU drills that three, Palmer gets butchered under the rim. No call. And it's hot tub time because your back's in a knot if you're a Kansas fan, if you're one of the Nebraska Kansas fans out there. There you go. So we're getting down to it here. We're about 10 minutes away from the holiday Hail Mary giveaway. That's a laptop from Schrock. That is a automatic call starter from Auto Sounds. That is a $100 gift card with your friends at Jet Splash. And Colton's getting he's getting it warmed up. We'll get you qualified here before this segment ends one last time in a moment. But want to get back to Paul Meyerberg's article. And Scott Frost admits in this USA Today story, quote, "I do know all about Nebraska's past. I know you can't turn the clock back to make it the 80s or 90s again. So you got to reinvent. You got to go about things a certain way. And you have a mix of playing days, those concepts, on top of the new-aged offense that he has. That's what Coach DiNardo was talking about to start this hour off. Are you attracting big-time players because they love the offense? They're excited about it. That's what you have right now. And that's one thing, if I'm going to read into some comments, that you have that might go against you if you're a pro-style offense. It's what they're running in the NFL, most programs, most teams. But I always kind of stopped and wondered, why'd Saban go dual threat? He's got the linemen, he's got the backs, he's got the wideouts, he's got the defense. Well, the only time he got beat was by Watkins or Cam, right? Or Johnny Football. Mobile quarterbacks beat him. And he wanted to have that element to do it back to their defenses and have an exciting, maybe a more exciting offense. That's kind of what's ringing through to me. Is have an offense that's exciting. You're going to be able to get the defensive kids and have them play well because you're Alabama. But on offense, are you going stale? Is it tired? Is it too hard to recruit great linemen and have depth? And then have the back keep reloading at running back. They've been able to do that, but now they have that dual threat element. And it's an exciting offense. And it's an offense kids are familiar with because they're using it now in high school. And that's what Nebraska now has is an exciting, talked about, sexy offense. There's a lot of substance to it versus just the style and fluff. You know that it's meat and potatoes, but it's the best meat and potatoes you've probably ever tasted in your life, right, from a spice standpoint. So good stuff from Paul Meyerberg. Let's get you qualified right now. Caller 5 here with the Holiday Hail Mary giveaway in about 10 minutes.
Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nippley out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down to the goal line!
And we're going
to
have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny and Kay.
And caught!
Caller 5 right now qualifies for the Holiday Hail Mary with ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM. All right, caller 5, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Caller 5 qualifies one last hurrah for the Holiday Hail Mary goodies. From Schrock, from Jet Splash, from Auto Sounds, caller 5 qualifies giveaway in about 5 minutes with Hail Varsity at ESPN.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Thursday. We'll get the Christmas story from Mike Leach tomorrow. Also on the program tomorrow, we will run down. Where's his name? I'm losing my mind. Will Honus' coach at Butler. How's that? Huh? We'll do that. We will get Will Honus' coach tomorrow on the program. Excited about that. We'll have Ralph Brown on the program tomorrow, the Pride of Fairbury, Kyle Woodall, linebackers coach from Butler tomorrow, Bill Dolman, Closborne and Vogues for the Friday forecast. We're just all sorts of loaded up. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Those are the numbers to get in. Can email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can get us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio. Or at Hail Varsity. And I just saw this when it comes to holiday gifts. The Holiday Hail Mary going to be given away shortly. We'll draw for that in just 1 minute. But wanted to remind you what's going on with HailVarsity.com and magazine. No time like right now to get a subscription locked in first for the magazine. 10 issues. Hopefully you get a chance to get that subscription in and get the Frost cover issue. But also, you subscribe, you have a volleyball issue coming out here, national championship issue coming out. So you subscribe now, you'll have that January issue. So that's good stuff. 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com. And, of course, get locked in with HailVarsity.com and all the premium content when it comes to signing day, when it comes to insight, when it comes to a great message board community, Derek Peterson, Brandon Vogel, Greg Smith, Jacob Padilla, Aaron Babcock, great, great stuff. Daily, multiple times daily. And you can get the Hail Varsity podcast on there, also on iTunes. Colton, do you want to make someone's day? For old time's sake, let's play the Hail Mary sounder one more time. Not all right? But make sure the caller 5 part is not happening. I've loved this. I've loved this the last 3 weeks here in Griswold. Scream hallelujah at the sound of a three-man rush.
Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nippley out.
I mean Nippy out.
Perfect. That laugh. I don't know how many smoky treats old Clark had, but it worked. What do we got, Colton?
Well, Chris, you're making me feel like Santa here, but it's Jason Suma, S-U-M-M-A.
Jason Suma. S-U-M-M-A. Jason Suma, you're a winner. You know that already, but you're a winner with the Holiday Hail Mary, the laptop from Schrock, the automatic car starter from Auto Sounds, the $100 Jet Splash gift certificate, should say a gift card. Jason Suma, congrats to you. Thanks much for listening. We really, really appreciate you tuning in. Colton will be on line one shortly to Jason Suma. Good for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.